At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new To The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Wednesday morning to you all as we're back here for a very special edition of The Wrap, recapping night two of the Great American Bash on NXT and a very strong episode of Monday Night Raw after SummerSlam, which went down at Cleveland Brown Stadium in Cleveland, Ohio this past Saturday on Peacock. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Ms. Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on the wrap as always, the one, the only back to his usual self, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm not salty because it was a bad show. Just salty because we're losing some things. Bit by bit, piece by piece, we will. NXT is not going to be the same going forward. We see the shifting, the changing of the guard, so to say, as far as who is going to be where. But the show in and of itself was pretty good. And I say two good nights of Great American Bash.
I agree. I thought last week was a very good show. This week was pretty good as well. And as you said, we are in a time of transition for NXT. You know, on the road they will be on October 1st and 8th, running pretty big arenas, sorely needed, because I've been saying for a very long time, get the hell out of Florida as much as you can, get some new scenery, get some fans out there that are not the PC fans, and try to get a full sense of how over this show is. And it is over when you see the PLEs on the road, and you get to see that via the first NXT live on the CW October 1st from the Allstate Arena in Chicago, Illinois, with special guest CM Punk. And then the next week on October 8th, which happens to go head to head with the very special Tuesday night edition of AEW Dynamite due to the MLB playoffs on TBS and TNT, we're going to be having Randy Orton repping the Lou for NXT on the road part two. So it's going to be a big premiere, probably some of the best viewership the CW will ever have, courtesy of NXT under this iteration of the CW, of course.
Yeah, Tony Khan's probably going to counter with Nelly and the Saint Lunatics. Listen, no, real excited about NXT going on the road. And, you know, I think shows like I don't mind them being at the PC. I think the PC does have a certain vibe to it, a certain energy. It is home, you know what I mean? But shows like the Great American Bash, for example, those are perfect shows to go out on the road. And that doesn't mean you have to do like the stadium shows like they're doing, which are cool. I'm cool with that too, especially for a debut show. And then, you know, going up against AEW, you want a big crowd for that. Might mess around and outdraw them. But you want to change it up when you do a show like a Great American Bash. So hopefully for the next TV special, after they make the move, it becomes more of a regular thing when they do these TV specials, that they're in a more of a touring mode.
I agree. I think for the TV specials and the PLEs, they should definitely be on the road. If these two shows draw very well, they might reconsider how they do their television model for the CW moving forward. Do you run those shows at the PC all the time? And do you go out on the road if it's financially feasible to do so, which I think it is. And there was that consideration of doing that a few years ago, but now with more money and you pulling better ratings than you were even a year ago, then that justifies the move to out of the PC and on the road. I wouldn't say full time. I think at one point when they were at Full Sail, they did sporadically shoot outside of Florida and they tried different places to film NXT. So I think they can do that, just give the show a different vibe and energy, because that PC crowd is great, like they were the last couple of weeks. And then there are weeks when they're not so enthusiastic and they're kind of dry for segments they should be hot for. So I do want that variety of crowds out there supporting the talent, and then the talent working in front of different audiences to see what they can do to improve their craft week to week.
You know, honestly, the blueprint is kind of the AEW crowds they were choosing and the venues they were choosing during the COVID era. Like, those are some pretty unique crowds. Like, the mall was a pretty unique crowd. Like, they had some very unique venues that they used. And I think NXT would benefit greatly from kind of using that same format. You can, and again, you do the big stadium shows for the big shows, you know, the debuts, the PLEs. But when you have your Great American Bashes, your TV specials and stuff like that, you know, changing it up for a cooler, different feel venue, I think I'm all for that. Like, I hope they do more of that. But I am excited for it. My guy Randy Orton, like you said, in the Lou, somebody's getting RKO'd, and I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Out of nowhere, probably from a very high place, if I had to guess. And we have a couple of months to see who that's going to be. But I'm looking forward to NXT on the road on the CW starting October 1st in Chicago, and then October 8th with special guest Randy Orton. And now it is time to talk about what happened on Monday Night Raw before we get to last night's NXT's Great American Bash Night 2. I got to say that Monday Night Raw was probably the best show they've done all year. And that's including what they did leading into WrestleMania and the night afterward when we had the perfect finish of Cody Rhodes finishing his story at WrestleMania by defeating Roman Reigns for the Undisputed Championship. I thought this episode of Monday Night Raw got people over. It reestablished storylines moving forward, and the crowd in Baltimore was hot most of the way through. I thought this was a focus show. People knew where sci-fi was this week. The number was up, especially against the Olympics. So that tells you that SummerSlam definitely connected with people. And I know that there was kind of like a split regarding the feedback to SummerSlam, because if you wanted a great wrestling show, it wasn't that. But if you wanted a show that was going to give you title changes, forward storylines, and give you payoffs, this was a show for you. I think it was ultimately a bridge to get you through the rest of the summer and into the fall, which will ultimately lead into Survivor Series and the Royal Rumble in February. Yes, February.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. So this, yeah, this was a, I agree with you. I think the show was very, very easy to take. Pause. And it was just a real easygoing show. Very enjoyable. Like the heating up of certain characters, the continuation of story. Like, we'll get to the New Day and Odyssey Jones. Like, that was a very good continuation there. Enjoyed the debut. I think that's one of the, honestly, genuinely, I think that's one of the best debuts they've done all year. Like, and I, it's really saying something. I think they knocked it out the park, and we'll get to that. But I also just think that they just knocked, they did a lot of great things, and they didn't have a lot of top people, which I, wrestling as far as, like, I think that's a real key thing. Like, they're not throwing big time matches out there just to have them. They're doing the regular story progression of the story, and it's working.
It is. And everything had purpose and intent behind it. Things we've been talking about on this show, they actually fixed on Monday, which we'll get to momentarily. But let's get to the opening segment of Monday Night Raw involving the new World Heavyweight Champion. We have the return of Ludwig Kaiser. My guy introducing Gunther comes out to a pretty good ovation. Like, this guy,
His suit game is incredible. Like, not a stitch is out of place. Nicely tailored, perfect suited and booted as champion. Talks about his victory at SummerSlam. He wants to bring honor and prestige back to the World Heavyweight Championship, as he did with the Intercontinental Championship, as he did with the NXT UK Championship all those years ago. And as Michael Cole said, this guy is going to have a long reign. He was NXT UK champion for 800 plus days. He was IC champion for 666 days. So this guy's going to have a lengthy run as champion, bringing honor and prestige to this championship. But he's not afraid of anyone backstage. He's willing to take on any challengers. And he says, nothing can take me by surprise. Nothing will take me off guard here. I'm ready for anything at any time. And then Randy Orton's music hits. Randy comes out to a pretty big ovation, and Gunther did quirk and say that I did not see coming. This actually did take me by surprise. And Randy reminded Gunther that, hey, we had a match at King of the Ring a few months ago and you beat me, but my shoulder was up, but the referee didn't see it. And therefore his decision is final. And Triple H even talked about it, talking about, we might go back to this match, run it back. So let's do the sequel at Bash in Berlin, your home country. Let's go there and do it in your backyard. Let's give the people Flair versus Steamboat. Like, it's back in the 80s. Let's give them a wrestling classic. Both of us are very great in the ring. I'm a little bit cleaner than you, but let's go out there and give the people a wrestling classic. And Gunther agrees. He's all about it. Just a proof of point. Like, yeah, my work is blemished a bit, but beating you decisively, oh, I'm definitely down to do that. They shake hands. And Gunther once again says, like, nothing takes me by surprise. Nothing will take me off my feet. And Randy says, I want you to see it coming. I want you to see me coming face to face. Overall, I thought this was a great show. Two alpha males going out there, talking their talk. Fun opening segment. Looking forward to this match at Bash in Berlin at the end of August.
Segment was fine, just didn't make any sense. First of all, what's Randy doing there? Secondly, I guess he was just like, yeah, so this whole bloodline thing, it's not working for me, Kevin. I'm gonna have to go to the other show. And what am I supposed to believe, that all of a sudden Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce are just buddy buddy making deals and whatnot? If they didn't get Yeet Uso back, who they trade for Randy Orton and A-Town Down Under? Who in the world could they have possibly gotten back for that? Because I can't wait to see. It better be the Yeet Man, because I can't imagine. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever why he showed up on Raw. And that's my guy.
The fact that you are openly criticizing what happened, despite your built-in Randy Orton bias, speaks to your growth as a podcaster. It really does, because normally you are a homer and you justify a lot of stuff, but you said, you know what, pause, something isn't right here, what's happening? But I will say that Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce said they have talked about these various negotiations. There is going to be an exchange of some sort. Like, okay, if you give me these guys for Monday Night Raw to borrow for the night, what does SmackDown get in return? So we'll see what Nick Aldis negotiated from Adam Pearce. What will he get in return for lending his guys to Monday Night Raw? Now, it better be Jey Uso. It better be a Sammy in the reserves in the event that needs to take place, because Nick Aldis, he has outsmarted Adam Pearce several times. So I hope that this guy's got some kind of hook as to what you will get in return for this talent exchange, which says draft be damned.
You said hook. Shout out to one of the greatest movies of all time, Hook. listen, you mentioned that about Nick Aldis outsmarting Adam Pearce. Just say Randy Orton wins the title so Raw don't have no world title all of a sudden. Like, what are we doing, Adam? This is your guy. Your guy just be making some of the worst decisions ever. Like, he is one of the worst GMs ever. Ever.
No, he's not. We had John Laurinaitis.
Johnny might be the worst.
Yes.
Johnny might be the worst.
Trash.
But, Adam Pearce. Let me tell you something about your boy Scrap Daddy. He can stand on his, you know, stand 10 toes down every now and then. But at the end of the night, somebody getting over on him. Like, that dude can't have one night of peace.
Well, listen, he has a very difficult job. It's very challenging. No, yes, he does. I mean, his life is threatened at various points backstage. I mean, he gets swung on. He gets hit. He has to buck on people sometimes. So he goes through it. But I choose to believe that he is a smart businessman, because you're going to get Randy Orton potentially if he wins, which he won't. But it's Randy Orton. And then Nick Aldis can say, what can I get for that guy? Can I get Jey Uso potentially? Can I get somebody over here? Can I reconstitute the bloodline? Is that possible? And I'm all for that. Scrap Daddy has a method to his madness, and I appreciate that. Getting Randy Orton is a big deal. In storyline, it makes sense. The shoulder was up. The people saw it. WWE acknowledged it. Triple H got up in front of a camera and said, yes, it did happen. And it is an out. He does have a right to challenge for this championship, and it will be a great match. Hopefully with a more decisive, definitive finish so we can all move on.
My last thing about this, Randy Orton said he was the Ricky Steamboat of this. So I'm fully expecting some chops, some two-hand, double-handed chops, cross bodies from the top rope. And I mean, all that. Some deep arm drags. I need all that.
Yes. I expect a lot of arm drags. top rope cross bodies. This isn't Randy from like 2004 and he's thicker. I don't care what he said. 290 ain't flying off that top rope. It's not
that
happening.
That man is not 290.
Oh, he said he's been eating, Scott. He's been eating.
You think he's 290?
Yes, he said it. He went, when they said that Randy was like 275, he says, I've been eating, man. I'm 290. I've been eating. He says, I've been eating. Rubbed his belly. He said, I'm 290.
That's a big boy.
That's a big
290 is a big boy.
Like, he says, I have been eating, okay? They even had him backstage eating on SmackDown. So he's like, I've been eating. Like, my wife has been cooking. Kim has been fixing me some supreme meals as of late, okay? I don't know if it's a quiche, but he's been eating. Yes, he's been eating well. I don't know if he's eating some barbecue ribs or some fillets. I don't know what he's eating, but he's eating good. But go ahead.
No, that's it. I'm just expecting some Steamboat-esque, because we know Gunther gonna bring it, especially.
Yes.
You know, he loved a chop like Ric Flair. Ric Flair loved a chop, so.
Yes.
We're right on par.
The perfect dynamic, perfectly. As we get to Ludwig Kaiser, my guy, back from his broken ribs, versus Sheamus, and these guys had a battle. A fight is bruising, was violent. I loved it. Both guys always deliver in the ring. I like their chemistry. Nice series of matches they've had on Monday Night Raw as of late. And Sheamus, you know, is always going to be that over guy with the people, the seasoned vet that's going to deliver banger after banger. But Ludwig definitely is an in-ring technician with a bit of viciousness to him at the same time. Love the action. Tried those clobbering forearms. And they were not great. Like, don't ever do that again. If you can't do it like Sheamus, leave that to the professional that can do it. And Sheamus did deliver those 10 beats of the battle at one point. Then we have Pete Dunne come out with a shillelagh to whack Sheamus. That does not work, as that enables Sheamus to hit the broke knee and broke kick on Ludwig Kaiser to get the win, as we are expecting to see Sheamus versus Pete Dunne sometime very soon. Possibly, if they wait for it, at Bash at Berlin in Germany in the next few weeks or so.
Yeah. Shout out to Fit Philly and the shillelagh. that's the first guy I ever saw use a shillelagh. And I was like, what is that? What is the shillelagh? So that's cool. Great match. I thoroughly enjoyed this match. The crowd was on fire for it. Sheamus got a great reaction. And Sheamus's music is okay.
No, it's not.
It's all right.
No, it's not.
It's fine. Like, no, it's his not. Music is fine.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's fine. I can tolerate Sheamus's music.
No, I can't. It sucks.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It's terrible. The music he had before getting his OG theme music back was better than this.
Yeah, for sure. The OG, there's no doubt about that. But I don't This definitely is terrible.
It's terrible.
Oh wow.
It is. Right. It's awful. It is. Let's not get ahead of ourselves and say that Def Rubble did a good job, because he did not.
I didn't say good. I said it's fine. It's
not even fine.
It's not. I think terrible is a strong word.
And it's deserved. The song is terrible.
All right. But yeah, the match was really good though.
Yes, agreed. Shit theme song, great match. That we can agree on or disagree. Scott's being a little bit more generous than me. I don't have a theme song. Now, I will say that I had very little patience because, you know, fans pull theme songs out of nowhere. And I did go back to listen to the remixed version of Roman Reigns' theme song. I did listen to it, and I do have thoughts, immediate thoughts on it. Now, the intro is great, I will say. The orchestra kicking in is very dramatic. I feel it. And then we get to the main course. That mix is still off for me. I need that dun, 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 dun. Like, it's just, no, I'm not feeling it. Maybe if I listen to it live on Friday Night SmackDown, which I won't be watching live because of preseason football, boo. Won't be able to watch SmackDown to after midnight, but I do want to give it one more chance. I just don't like the body of the mix. So they need to retool that.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Make the right call for the right Medicare Advantage benefits. Go to MedMutual.com/review to schedule your free Medicare plan review with Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.
Well, it's up to the tribal chief. So if he likes it, it's going to stay. If he don't like it, we'll go back to the OG. But that's not terrible either. We've heard some terrible themes, so
yes.
I don't know if I put either one into that same bag.
No, I'm not gonna say terrible. Like, that song by the remix Tribal Chief song is not bad. The Sheamus theme song is fucking terrible. There's no defense of that. I'm sorry. It's not fine. It's not decent. It's not okay. It's terrible.
I think that's funny.
Okay. So enough theme song bashing for right now. Let's get to Damian Priest, who actually has a good theme song.
There we go. There we go.
By Def Rebel standards. There we go.
That's a solid rebel.
Yeah, that's a that's a solid rebel. He comes out and he is so over as a babyface. And I was wondering, okay, this is your first official promo as a babyface. How are you going to do it? And he did it organically, saying that, hey, I have a new family. You are my family. I met some of you guys after the documentary screening in Cleveland, and I heard your stories and how I have impacted you in a positive way. So you are my family now. I'm embracing you, and I'm going to win this championship back for us. But in the meantime, in between time, where's Finn Balor at? I want to whoop his ass right here on site for my family. And I thought this guy was great. I've always said this about Damian Priest. Let that guy be in the pocket. He'll go. Even he admitted that I wasn't myself before, but I'm myself now. Judgment Day gave me a family I didn't have before, but now my family is you guys. And I love that for him. And then Finn Balor appears on a big screen, and he goes back to last year's
SummerSlam when Finn was in line to be champion. And then Damian Priest comes out with his Money in the Bank briefcase and saying, wait a minute. So he held on to that grudge for over a year. And he said, when you became champion, you thought you were the leader. You thought you was the head guy in charge. And for the longest time, Judgment Day had no leaders. But guess what? We're back to where we started. No leaders. We're all equal. You're out. I'm in. And here's a new Judgment Day. It's Carlito who made the cut officially. Jaden McDonagh, Finn Balor, Dominic Mysterio, and Liv Morgan. The reveal was everything. I love that reveal of the new Judgment Day. I thought it was great. And Damian Priest stumps backstage to find him. To no avail yet, but I thought this was a great setup for Priest versus JD later in the show. Priest over as a babyface. New Judgment Day looks really, really good.
Yeah, somebody said the New Judgment Day looks like the core.
What?
This,
what?
Somebody said Carlito was embracing his Ezekiel Jackson.
Wow. Wow. That is... Listen, Carlito don't deserve that kind of slander. Now, he might be old and can't go like he used to go, but he's not Ezekiel Jackson levels of...
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. And Liv Morgan and Dominic Mysterio combined equals Heath Slater. Listen,
what? Pause. Who made this comparison?
I just made it off the top while we were
That
talking.
Is just awful. I rebuke this immediately. How dare you equate Liv Morgan, Liv, and for Dom sure. combined with Heath no Slater? Doubt. How dare you?
Yeah. Heath had great hair. And Dom's got a great mullet.
Listen, let's focus on Dom for like a second before I get your thoughts. Okay. Dominic and Mysterio. I want to say this straight off top before you get to the floating head. I just want to say about this with Dominic Mysterio.
Good.
Unexpected chemistry magnet of the year.
Well, that's because he's a G.
He is a G. Like this guy has the riz.
In real life, he's just got swag. Like he's a swagged out dude. Like he probably has a laundry list of people that are like, yo, old girl better not slip up because I'm ready. Like he's swagged out. Yeah. I have no doubt about it.
Yes.
And JD McDonagh is definitely Justin Gabriel, so
well, that's kind of a compliment in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. Finn Balor, Wade Barrett.
Was the worker. Yes.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's not too bad. Like Liv Morgan, you know, goes wild like Heath Slater, and
oh my god,
he looks dirty like Dominic. It all works.
God. Oh my god, this comparison is sick. First of all, why don't you just call them the Nexus versus the Core, which sucked? Come on
because
now.
Because Judgment Day is the Nexus. That's okay. The OG. That's the original.
Okay. Now you're thinking like really, really strongly on this, and it makes sense, which makes me mad because it makes sense because the Nexus is the OG, and I hate you for that. I hate you
exactly,
because now I get it, but it's still insulting because it's the Core. But then again, you could have said Apple, and therefore I'll take the Core.
Yeah,
I mean, it's a lame ass faction.
All we need is Ezekiel Jackson. Just chewing on an apple and spit it out and saying that's not cool, or asking where his PS5 is.
All right, okay, I get it. I fully understand it. I still hate the Core, but I'll let it slide. I'll live with it for you. But thoughts on this segment overall?
Real good segment. Really enjoyed it. Damian Priest is off to a great start as a babyface. And I think Finn Balor already showed when he was the one that was going after Seth, he already showed that he can lead, kind of be the leader of this faction when he needs to. So this will be another opportunity to kind of take this Judgment Day 2.0 in a totally new direction. And it's going to be very different. We won't we won't have Liv dominating like we had Rhea dominating. This will be all about Finn Balor.
Yes, even though he says we have no leaders, Finn, you are the leader. Let's be for real. You are the leader. This is really his Bullet Club for WWE. I think it was a club we've been wanting him to have for a minute. Like, remember Balor Club? And he was the only freaking club member. Now he has a faction that he is leading. He is the face of. And it's about damn time. The prophecy has finally been fulfilled. Finn's got a crew. The Finns are finning for real.
Finn gang.
Finn gang. Get your bandanas up. All right. I'm going to skip ahead to Lyra and Shayna, I believe. Or was it Zoe Stark? Who, what was that? Was it Shayna?
It was Shayna. Yeah, okay. It was Shayna.
It was fine. Interference. Yeah, you know, things happen. Shayna won.
Real quick before you skip, though. Cheddar biscuits for Lyra. Just
I try just a, to tell you.
Just a drop dead gorgeous woman.
I mean, just you, like,
wow.
I told you months ago when her vignettes first aired at NXT, I said, this is a beautiful woman. Gorgeous.
For sure.
Gorgeous. And now you've seen the light.
She one of the prettiest on the entire roster.
Yes.
Real talk. Real talk.
Yes. Yes. Stunning woman. Absolutely gorgeous. I was like, wow. Woo, yes, very pretty. So let's get to CM Punk coming out talking about being happy to be back, happy that he lost at SummerSlam. Hey, got that L out the way. Scott's irritated. Now you know how I felt when John Cena said, you know what about that championship match I lost? Forget about it. You know, I'll get another one of those things down the road. I'm a legend. Let me move on. Let me just brush all of this off. So CM Punk, who was like, I am going to beat the ever-loving hell out of Drew McIntyre. It's going to be violent. It's going to be disturbing. We didn't get any of that. And Drew McIntyre did not make Punk's heart stop. So they both lied. So he's like, hey, I'm cleared. I came back in 5 months versus 9. And I know that I can dish it out to Drew McIntyre. I'm ready to fight. Bring your ass out here. And then we have Hangman Seth Rollins come out. We have Hangman Seth Rollins with the cowboy fit. I know the exact intent and symbolism of what he wore. I loved it. He was like, let me take off my cowboy fit. Because since you cleared and I don't like you and we got beef, say dating back years, let's do this right now. Let's you and I fight. So they're ready to go at it. Drew McIntyre comes through the crowd to taunt CM Punk, say, hey, guys, hey, me up here, forgot about me. So Punk is so laser focused on Seth that the only reason he turns around is because once again, Drew shakes his wrist to say, hey, I got your bracelet. Huh? I got your dog and your rifle on me. So what you going to do about it? So Punk runs through the crowd to catch Drew McIntyre to no avail. And then we get the greatest thing to have ever happened in the career of Bronson Reed. So Bronson got mad with Adam Pearce, who was actually in this case a dummy, because Bronson beat Sheamus last week and then gets leapfrogged, essentially. Like, he don't get a shot at anything. Boy. I know he made a faux pas here. You know, you can't ignore wins and losses here. And Bronson Reed clearly beat Sheamus last week and he gets no reward for it. So Bronson said, I'm gonna make you pay attention to me. I'm gonna make you understand where I'm coming from. So Bronson comes out here, attacks Seth Rollins. He delivers. Not one. Not two. Not three. Not four, not five, six tsunamis off the top rope. In wrestling, when someone does something twice, the fans say one more time, and sometimes the heel just walks away and doesn't give the people what they want. This time, Bronson says, bet, I would give it to you over and over and over again. And the crowd got louder and louder and louder for him. And I was like, you bloodthirsty people, this is violence. Your favorite babyface is getting squashed, coughing up blood, and you're just saying one more time, and they're cheering. And then at the end, when the violence is done, they do try to sing Seth Rollins' theme to say, hey, guy, feel better soon. But we love the violence, though. We enjoyed the carnage, and I did too. We've been talking on this show for months about the booking of Bronson Reed, about this guy is talented, he's big, he's agile, he's strong, he's got what it takes to be somebody, but the booking has been a choice. He's been losing matches up until recently, and it felt like Triple H might have heard this show and said, let me do something about this. Let me remedy the situation to give Bronson Reed something that he's never had before, and that is forward momentum and people that now notice and will pay attention to him moving forward, because him and Seth will have a great match, undoubtedly so. And even if he loses, he'll still be over. It's like the Braun Breaker effect. The fans love badasses that go out there and whoop ass. And now they see that in Bronson Reed. And therefore, you have basically, hopefully, saved this guy's career and gave him some equity moving forward in WWE.
This is just the every couple months Bronson Reed push. It happens right before he's inserted into a big multi-man match, like an Elimination Chamber or some type of triple threat fatal four-way, and or some big singles match. He'll get some big wins or get a big beat down. Same thing here. Like you said, they'll have a great match at Bash, and then he'll fall back into oblivion. That's what's probably going to happen, because that's what happens every time. I refuse to get my hopes up and be disappointed. I'm not going to put my heart out there anymore. I'm tired of it getting broken. Don't have a lot of pieces left. And I'm just going to keep my expectations low and just continue to be surprised if it works out. The beatdown was absolutely incredible. I think it's one of the best beatdowns they've done in a while. I love the way the crowd just, every time he would start climbing the ropes, they would just, the anticipation would build as people are standing there. They're trying to stop him. Then they move out the way, and just a really great segment. Before that, with the Drew, Seth, and CM Punk, real happy, first match back, he loses, and everything's fine until the old boy shakes the bracelet. Real quick, so if he never shook the bracelet, would he have been in a good mood the rest of the night? I'm just curious. I'm all about triggers. I just don't know if him coming out all jolly and then acting like somebody called and said somebody stole Larry in the same segment at the end. It was just very, very different emotions, wide spectrum.
Well, we know that bracelet is a trigger for him. He triggered twice in that match of SummerSlam when he had the guy in like an arm bar. He says, oh my God, the bracelet. I must take it off. I must reclaim custody of the bracelet. And then when Seth puts on the bracelet for protection, you know, to save it for you, you're going to get upset with him over the bracelet. So this bracelet is a sincere trigger. He could be looking at Seth ready to beat his ass. And then if that bracelet flashed on the big screen, CM Punk would look up and say, my bracelet. That's a trigger for him, an emotional trigger at all times. So as you said, if the bracelet was never there on Drew's wrist, he might not have reacted, but that bracelet is definitely his kryptonite. And he went backstage running after Drew McIntyre, and Adam Pearce, who is having a night, says, I sent him home. You know what? I thought it would be a good idea to make sure you guys are separated again and just have you fester and be pissed for the next 7 days.
Adam Pearce is the worst. And secondly, and I know we can move on, CM Punk, instead of him being worried about that bracelet, he need to be worried about the person who made the bracelet, because apparently she making some bank. So you need to be trying to get your bread instead of worried about that bracelet, because old girl who made the bracelet is like, yo, I made his bracelet. Come see me at Best Buy.
Not Best Buy. The Best Buy. Wait a minute. Pause. Best Buy sells cheap bracelets where?
It didn't have to be where they sell the cheap bracelets. She could just have the meet and greet. Okay, you want to wear to sell the cheap bracelets? Come see me at Target. No, I'm sorry. Come see me at Five and Below. Come see me at Five and Below for a meet and greet.
No. No, no, no. This is where they need to do the meet and greet, because I'm trying to go to where WWE has sponsors. So you know where they can go? They can go to Cricket Wireless, okay? They can go there and have the meet and greet with the bracelet lady. There you go.
So the cell phone people got bracelets.
Yes,
that is. But Best Buy don't.
No, absolutely not. You can set up a Cricket wireless pop-up shop, and she can do her meet and greet there, and WWE can get a cut, and so they can get a cut, and so can she.
And guess where that Cricket pop-up shop is going to be?
Where?
In Best Buy.
No, it's not.
It's going to be in Best Buy.
It is not going to be at Best Buy. It is exactly going to be. No, to stay in line with WWE sponsorship, it is going to be at your local Wingstop.
Are they selling thighs now?
Just thighs. Lemon pepper thighs. Barbecue thighs.
Rick Ross said, if you come in with Travis Scott, you get a free six piece.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying.
I can't with you. Okay, let's move on. We gave Bracelet Lady a lot of plug on this show. He did, as we get to a feud that I don't care about, but I might care about very soon. It was another match involving the Final Testament and the New Day, and Kofi's back out of the blue. Like, oh, he's healed up. He's wearing their Ninja Turtle fits, and wow, look at that. The match is all right. It's fine. You know, AOP, New Day, tired of this feud. I don't care about it. Has some moments here and there. And then we have the New Day score the dub thanks to an assist from Odyssey Jones. Now, the thing about Odyssey Jones is that he was an NXT superstar for a year and a half. And then he got drafted to Monday Night Raw, never to be seen. Then he got drafted again to Monday Night Raw. And for months, he was never seen. I think he was legit injured at one point. So he comes back and he takes out Karrion Kross. Guy, second segment in a row, big guy come back, and he lifts up. He lifts up both members of AOP, Razor and Akam, and delivers a double slam to these two big behemoths. And the fans go crazy like, this shit is cool. What a way to get them over in one night. And Kofi's excited. We have Odyssey with the New Day tee on. And I notice Xavier Woods is not exactly pleased by this development. Like, who the hell is this? Where did he come from? Then backstage, Kofi tries to explain and say, oh yeah, I met him at the PC when I was rehabbing. Real cool guy. I thought that you needed some help, you know, because you kept getting beat every week. So here you go. And Xavier did that fake smile like, yeah, thank you. I didn't ask for this, but thanks anyway, thinking that I can't handle my own stuff. So after teasing, after taunting, after tempting, dare I say, Scott, that Karrion Kross might in fact convert Xavier Woods to the dark side?
Yeah, he does that to everybody. Fuse with, so this will continue that trend. Odyssey Jones, I thought, had just an incredible debut. He picked up each member of AOP in each arm and had them both in sidewalk slams and just kind of held them there for a second, walked around. And I don't think the crowd was ready for that. He came out, House of Fire. Honestly, this 30-second or maybe like minute and a half of him in the ring was better than anything he did in NXT combined, put together in a big ball. This was just fantastic. And honestly, he's not Big E, and nobody will ever replace Big E. But he's a good fit. And obviously, Xavier's not going to be there long, but he's a good fit for Kofi. He's somebody that Kofi can create all the movement, can sell, and Odyssey Jones can just run wild, can continue to improve, be hidden in a tag team. This could be a really good thing for him going forward.
I agree. You needed a big splash because you're just going to randomly bring him on TV with no sense of purpose. And we had an explanation that, hey, I'm at the PC healing up and I meet Odyssey Jones and he's offering his assistance to help you out and let's go do this thing. And Xavier feels some kind of way about it. But I think it establishes Odyssey as a player on Monday Night Raw. You made his debut memorable by what he did and the automatic connection to Kofi Kingston. He will not be Big E. He will never be Big E. There's only one Big E, who's truly the heart and soul of the New Day. And maybe in some faraway land,
Big E will be on WWE television. Will he ever wrestle again? I don't think so. Depending on if the stem cells do a miracle, you never know. But I do sense he will play a role in the storyline at some point to try to get his guys back on track before Xavier does whatever he's going to do ultimately. And I do think that he has potential to be a good heel. The New Day have been together 10 years this year. They've held on for an entire decade, which is a remarkable feat for factions in WWE, and it had a good run. I think it is going to pretty much come to an end via Xavier Woods' heel turn. And I heard that some people are wondering, can he stand on his own? Can he survive without a crew? I think he can. I think he's highly underrated as a wrestler, and I think he has what it takes to get over as a heel.
Yeah, I do too. And I look forward to his eventual heel run, which I think is coming.
Yes, I agree. All right, so let's get to something else that happened on this show last night, which was Damian Priest versus the floating head, JD McDonagh from Judgment Day. I really enjoyed this match. I don't know what's gotten into Damian Priest the last few matches. Guys unlock the cheat code. I'm just going to be striking and hitting real hard, real physical, going at it. Loved it. The fans loved it too. JD's a great seller, takes great bumps, and he can dish it out too at the exact same time. Love the physicality of this match. I thought it was well laid out. The fans were into it. They love Damian Priest down, which I'm here for. And as Damian was about to get the W, we had Finn Balor said, watch your back, because when you think that I'm not going to be coming for you, when you think you can rest easy, I'm coming. Attacks from behind, DQ, Carlito, Dominic Mysterio, Liv Morgan, JD go after Damian Priest. It's an uneven fight. Priest does try to fight back, but he's jumped once again by Judgment Day. And then we get the pop of the night. Rhea Ripley comes out. She runs down to the ring, grabs Liv, slams her against the ring post, is going to powerbomb her through the announce table. But Daddy Dom saves the day, but he leaves the rest of Judgment Day all alone as Finn skedaddles. JD's left standing all by his lonesome. Rhea headbutts him, and Damian delivers one hell of a South of Heaven to JD McDonagh, lays him out. I thought this was fantastic. This angle is the hottest thing they have going on Monday Night Raw. This Judgment Day 2.0 is hitting. Rhea and Damian Priest, the Terror Twins, that's what they're calling themselves. I'm here for that. The pop that Rhea got was incredible. Damian is over as a babyface. They will need some help against this Judgment Day. I wonder who the recruits are going to be. I kind of mentioned LWO, and then Priest can lead that with the blessing of Ray, if that happens, to go in that direction to really piss off Dominic even more. I don't know how they're going to do it, but we'll get there eventually, because I think that Jay will have other family responsibilities with the bloodline come the fall. But I liked everything about this segment. This can go on for months. And maybe, perhaps, potentially, they could do a War Games match at Survivor Series because it justifies it.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. And, you know, Liv Morgan, I think you're going to need something to extend this feud. And I think to kind of differentiate this version of the Judgment Day, you want to do things a little bit differently. And I think this version of the Judgment Day could use two ladies in it. And I would have Liv bring in a little bit of muscle if she's ready to come back. And that would be Raquel. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she would be a great heavy for Liv to have back there. Just her presence in the entire group. Judgment Day having that female presence that can stand up to any man and throw them around just like Rhea Ripley was doing. I think that would add a ton. Now you have two women who will always be in a main event angle of some sort, a main event match of some sort. You put Raquel right back into the top mix. Her and Rhea can have some matches. Now Rhea has something to do that doesn't involve the title for a little bit, but her focus and story is still mingling and mixing up with Liv Morgan. So I think that's a good way to extend Liv and Rhea, because ultimately, I'm guessing Rhea has to beat Liv to get that title back. And this is a good way to extend that. On the men's side, like you mentioned, I don't know who Damian Priest turns to. I think it's going to be interesting because he's got a lot of enemies now. just like Jey Uso had a lot of enemies, he's going to have to go on a little bit of a redemption tour. Who's going to be that first person to stick out that olive branch? And one other thing I want to mention, JD is, I'm extremely high on him. I think he's one of the best wrestlers in the entire company. Anybody he's in the ring with, he makes them look like $1 million. He moves differently. He can move. He can keep up with anybody. He can change his pace. He can sell if he needs to. He can go after a limb if he needs to. I think he is one of the more underappreciated wrestlers because he doesn't win and he's not booked to win. He's one of the more underappreciated guys on that entire roster.
I agree. He's great. I loved his work on NXT UK. He was great on NXT. Great on the main roster. A success story on the main roster, which I thought if there was another administration in charge, that would not be the case. But he was able to break through. He was a draft pick last year for the draft, and he has been a player in the Judgment Day. And as Priest said, hey, the only reason you got in here was because of your boyfriend. I didn't want you in the damn group. But he's made his way. He's a tag team champion. He's getting tons of television time in a hot faction. So it's working for him. And he's really good in the ring as well. He did great work on Monday against Priest. And I love your theory, Scott, about Liv needing a heater. And there you have Raquel. If she's healthy, I know she's gone through some serious health issues over the last few months. I hope that her health is good before coming back. But I love the idea for two reasons. One, that is her former tag team partner. Mm-hmm. They left on good terms. And number two, Liv having a poppy and a mommy.
I didn't think about that. I like that. I didn't think about that, but that would be great.
Yes.
Mommy Raquel and Daddy Dom.
Woo.
I didn't think about the mommy part, but that, we got a new mommy. Oh,
yes.
That's it, right? We got a new mommy. And Dom can introduce her. We got a new mommy. Oh, hey, I like that. That adds a ton to it, the whole mommy-daddy dynamic, especially the way I like that a lot.
Dom, as you said, he's got too much sauce, man. He going to have two women draped on him.
Carlito is... Carlito is just going to be in the room. He's just going to be staring. He's just going to be in the corner holding an apple. Like, he'll never take a bite of the apple. The apple will just be like at his mouth while his jaws drop, and he'll never take a bite. You'll just always see him in the corner. And guys will be talking about a plan. Yo, did you hear me? And then he'll take a bite. Yeah, that's cool. That's what's going to happen with Carlito if Raquel joins that group. And you got those two all over Dominic Mysterio.
Oh, God. Finn, this is the time to put on your mask and get the camera. You're the new camera guy.
No. The camera's gone. Camera's gone. Finn probably was like, hey, look, Damien's gone. That camera's gone. The mask is gone. We ain't doing none of that weird stuff no more. Okay? None of that.
Under the new Judgment Day, we have zero kink. Okay? You do that off the clock on your own time.
We cleaning all this up. Okay? We cleaning all... First of all, we're getting a new room. We're not even staying in this room.
Yes, we get a new clubhouse. Spot. We're going to get it like new renovations, new lights, new drapes, new scenery, new chairs. It's going to be redone up. Mm-hmm. I'm here for it. So I love that. So pending Raquel's health, I'm here for that. The new mommy coming through. Let's do that. I'm here. I feel that would be pretty badass, honestly, because Rhea, you're being replaced twice over, and that has to suck big time. There's history there with her and Raquel. They haven't had great matches on the main roster. They have on NXT. I hope they can recreate that magic with this feud if it comes to pass. But don't count out the LWO in terms of Rey giving his blessing, because that is the man that Damian has to apologize to the most.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's he needs fine. Help. He needs, it won't be Jay, because Jay has bloodline business. It will not be him. So it has to be Ray.
It's probably going to be R-Truth and The Miz.
Oh, no, hell no, because The Miz is about to flip on R-Truth.
It'll probably be R-Truth, though.
Yeah,
he does have a soft. He's always had a little bit of a soft spot for Archer.
Yeah, he did. You know, yeah, it's like, fuck.
So I could see him being with the Miz for a little bit before. I think I could see them tagging up a little bit just because, like, they got the history. I could see R-Truth. R-Truth is probably going to put the team out there. Be like, yo, yeah, we'll help you out. And Miz like, yo, what are you doing? We're not trying to get involved in this. Another catalyst for the turn.
Yeah, I think it'd be a temp thing. A temp thing, and then you eventually lead to Ray. Because he has to mend that fence. So I do like that because, yeah, they did have a nice dynamic and Truth would be there for him. And then Miz would be pissed off and say, why are we in this business? And that'll lead to the turn. And quite frankly, R-Truth deserves it because you were an idiot in that tag team match. That's why I didn't mention it. I'm just saying.
Yeah, we don't have to talk about that.
It wasn't very good. And then he makes a blind tag that knocks out the Miz. Like, the fuck? Like, yeah, whatever's happening to you, you deserve it. I'm sorry.
In game, Damian Priest, Rey Mysterio, and Bad Bunny versus Finn Balor, JD McDonagh, and Dominic Mysterio.
Oh my God. Bad Bunny, are you on tour for the rest of the year? Because if not, get in the ring and train now. Oh my God. I need that in my life. Bad Bunny, where are you?
Put Bad Bunny in the War Games match.
Oh my God. Yes.
No, actually, yes.
That's
a bit. That's crazy.
No, you know he'll tear it up though. That man will deliver a bunny destroyer off the top of the cage. Nah. Come on.
that's the problem. That's the problem. Okay. And then instead of it called WWE, it's just gonna be called Bad Bunny.
Yes.
BBE. Bad Bunny Entertainment.
That sounds like the baddest label ever. BBE, Bad Bunny Entertainment. Yes, I'm here for that. And that is another guy that Damian Priest has to apologize to for Puerto Rico. Like, hey, I'm sorry, man.
Well, I know he took the L. He took the L, so he ain't got to apologize too much. He'd be like, listen, I'm sorry for the night before. I don't forgive you for beating me, though.
Yeah, so we need that reconciliation. I need to check Bad Bunny's tour dates if he's available, but that would be cool, very much so. As we get to a match that was not great, Sonya Deville versus Io Sky. Now, the crowd most of the night has been very good. They've been popping for everything. This was the first time they said this is boring. Like, oof, that's harsh. But I have to be honest, I don't know if it's still ring rust. Sonya was better in the ring before her injury. I don't know what's going on, but the last few matches we saw Lyra tell her up, down, put me down. That did not work well. And she worked slow against Io Sky. And then until Io and Kairi went flying on the rest of the crew, that's when Io got the win, thankfully. But here's the problem, the big problem. Damage control for years have been heels, okay? Tormented Bayley and Bianca Belair. And just because this new faction of Zoe Stark, Shayna Baszler, and Sonya Deville come and beat your asses, you just can't come back and just say, this is our turf. We're baby faces. You have to explain yourselves. Yes, you're great. I love Io. I love Dakota. I love Kairi Down. But you just can't come out here and just be a baby face. You have to come out there and say why, the motivation. Because the fans, they would care. But you have to give them a reason to care, and they don't have that right now. That's why this is why this segment of the women's division is cold, because why would I care about a faction that caused so much hell and your name is Damage Control?
Yeah, I don't think they're acting any differently, though. Like, they've always, their mission statement has always been about being the dominant faction. So for me, it doesn't feel like they're doing anything differently. The crowd is just cheering them because they dislike Chitty Chitty Bang Bang a little bit more. Or Set It Off, whichever you want to go with.
Pause. First of all, Set It Off is a classic. They're not Set It Off. Like, I don't think Shane is taking bullets like Queen Latifah in that car. So, no. Mm-mm. No. No, we're not doing Set It Off.
that would fly, huh?
And absolutely not. And listen, there are no runners in that crew is going to take 20 rounds. No, not even Shayna. No.
I was going to say, I can see Shayna taking some rounds.
10, not 20.
I can see Shayna, and I think Zoe got a few in her too. Sonya's like, I'm good on those. I'm good on those. I got a cake shop over here. I gotta take care of. Don't she have a cake shop? Her and Mandy, don't they have
donuts?
Like a cake shop?
I think they have donuts.
Donuts. That's what it is. Donuts.
The Mandy's donuts.
Yeah, that's what. That's how she get the bullet. That's how she get the holes in the donuts. The bullet holes.
God. Oh my God.
But yeah, the match wasn't great. No, nothing to really write home about. And you know, regardless of what I said, as far as like how I feel about it, it's the masses have to feel that way, and they really haven't given a statement. And when you don't have Dakota Kai out there in front of the crowd firing them up to give them a reason to, it doesn't hit the same. So, yeah, this still has some work to do. But I will say this. At least we're doing something having feuds with women wrestlers that don't involve the title. So I will take that and them giving them time and matches over just not doing anything.
100% agree. I think the one thing that Paul Levesque really needs to work on is the women's division in terms of factions and getting them over and really prioritizing the women's tag team titles. Those are the two things he needs to work on. You got some teams here, you got factions, more than one, which is good, but I just think that he needs to really focus and kind of figure that piece out. I think that's the weakest part of Monday Night Raw that needs to be addressed, and that goes to SmackDown too. You need viable factions and tag teams for the ladies if you're going to have these titles be in play, which I think they are. And because of that, these teams will float between all three brands. So you need to build it up in a way that makes sense. And hopefully that happens in the next few months or so. The potential's there. We see the trio on NXT with Fallon Henley, JC Jane, and Jasmine Nix. You see that. So they're trying to establish trios here, but I just need them to really care about it in terms of getting these teams over and then ultimately making these tag team titles matter at the same time. That's been a problem for a lot of this for a long time outside of the time that Sasha and Bayley held those titles all those years ago during the pandemic era. That was the only time they truly, truly mattered.
Yeah, I agree.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
All right, now it's time for our main event of Monday Night Raw, the awaited debut of the Wyatt Six in the ring. For the first time ever, we had them versus now known, not American Alpha no more. Chad Gable told that crew, "You could keep that name. I don't want that. I'm going to trademark American Made." And when their baby faces, American Made is going to be a thing. And American Made involves Chad Gable and the Creed brothers. Ivy Nile is on the outskirts for now, but I'm sure she'll join this crew full time as well. And the Wyatt Six is represented by Joe Gacy, Dexter Lumis, and Eric Rowan. And the big test was, can this act translate in the ring? And I can safely say that it did. I thought this was a really fun main event. The fans cared about it. They were invested, and Michael Cole did a great job telling the backstory of each character and who they represented and why. He says these are real people. During these tributes to Bray Wyatt via the Rambling Rabbit, the Buzzard, the Witch, Huskus. This is their tribute. This is their love letter to the Wyatt family with Bray Wyatt, the Lantern, the Chair as the honorary sixth member of this crew. I thought it was beautifully done, and the test is officially over. They passed. The guys can go in the ring. Joe Gacy as a babyface can go in the ring. That was never a question. Eric Rowan is solid. Dexter Lumis isn't bad. They'll be fine.
Yeah, it's a really good debut. I thought they did a really good job as far as the teamwork aspect of it. American Made, I'm looking forward to them on Donald Trump's presidential campaign. Can't wait to see them walking.
Wow.
American Made. I mean, you kidding me? Surprised they didn't have on red.
Oh my God.
I'm just saying, like, are you kidding me? And it's fine. It's fine. You know, it is what it is. You can do whatever you want. That was my first thought. I was like, oh, cool. Can't wait for Donnie to take this one. So I thought it was really, really good main event. Great way to cap off the show. A lot of faith in the Wyatts or the Wyatt Six to close out. And like you said, they passed the test. And so now you have a established main event act going forward. So real good job. And I look forward to seeing what the next chapter is with these guys.
Me too. Remarkable how Dexter Lumis grew dreadlocks in a year. Remarkable how those locks got locked real quick. And I'm just saying, like, it's amazing how that happens. It truly is. I think he got some extensions though.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, that ain't your hair, boy. I know dreadlocks for sure. And that is not all of your hair, but you go off. You do you.
The man went to a black hair salon and said, y'all already know what I want. Y'all already know what I want. Let me go ahead and you see me. I know y'all had customers like me. You know what we want. Go ahead and hook me up.
He got the... I want to say it.
Y'all go ahead. Go ahead. What do you got? I got that reggae cut.
He had the reggae cut and the Lance Archer special. He did all at one time. He did. But most importantly, I'm very happy this group leans into reality and not the supernatural, which was a fear going in. So I think they have leaned into, like, yes, we're wearing masks and stuff, but we're not these characters. We're just embodying the spirit of what Bray Wyatt represented via the Funhouse, which I'm all for. So love the presentation. Match is really good. And great episode of Monday Night Raw. Best show I've seen from WWE on television, not named a PLE this year by far.
Yeah, this is a really good episode.
Yes, and now it's time to talk about NXT. Great American Bash Night 2 going down live from the WWE Performance Center in Orlando, Florida. We kick things off with Trick Williams versus Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight. I thought this was a very good match. Trick was delivering great chops to Pete Dunne. Very physical, bruising match between the two. Love the near falls and counters. And shockingly enough, Scott, I did not expect Pete Dunne to pick up the W with the bitter end. But the feud will continue as Trick checked him backstage, got into another brawl. So I guess we'll get a sequel to this. But I guess it's a way to also build up Pete Dunne versus Sheamus on Monday Night Raw, because we have Pete Dunne moonlighting between Mondays and Tuesdays for now.
Yeah, and it's nice that Trick has to kind of work a little bit from underneath. And now he's got to build himself back up. And Pete Dunne's not a pushover. He's an NXT legend. And like you said, he's got a big match coming up. This worked all the way around. And Pete Dunne has been telling him, you know, you know what you got to do. And he obviously didn't get it done. So, I think this is going to be a good story that they continue to tell.
Agree. And I think that more matches are coming between the two. And I'm here for that as well. Gives Trick more experience. Looks good in this match, held his own. And that is all that we need to see as he slowly climbs his way back into the NXT Championship picture. At some point very soon, probably before the move to the CW, he might get his rematch at No Mercy against Ethan Page. We'll see about it. But let's get to our next match, which was for the NXT Women's North America Championship. It was Tatum Paxley versus the champion Kalani Jordan. I thought this was also a good match. Very good in terms of selling by Kalani Jordan of the knee injury that Tatum Paxley targeted midway through this match. Great dives from both ladies on the outside. Tatum is a 450 on Kalani for a near fall. Then we have Wendy Chu come out, and she's just doing things, walking, lurking around, staring. And we have the doll of Kalani on the outside, and Kalani fights back, lands a Spanish fly, lands a splash, and scores the win to retain the championship. After the match is over, we have this look of respect between Wendy and Tatum, who gives her back the doll, and then Wendy chokes Tatum Paxley out for reasons unknown.
I don't know. The match was good. You know, shout out to Kalani for being the only black wrestler to win anything the last couple nights. That's okay. You held it down. As far as the bride of Chucky and her little sister and what they had going on, it's all right. It's not for me. But I think this will do real well when the overrun goes right into the new CW show, the Sister Witches.
Not the Sister Witches.
The Babysitter Witch.
The Babysitter Witch. I can't. I cannot. Well, the CW's on a budget. You know, they're not going to be spending money on supernatural shows like that, because they've canceled all the shows on the CW just about that are scripted. So there's no hope. So unless you ship the show to Canada and tell them, can we get a profit margin off of that because we ain't got to produce it, then go ahead.
They still got All American. So I guess they could always make them a team of witches and have them put some hexes on the team.
That would not be happening either.
I haven't watched All American since like season 3 when this pops. I don't want to give away no spoilers, but I was about to tell the whole show. Yes, yeah, I've been watching like season 3.
Like, I completely revealed everything from Scream 5 and broke Scott's heart, so
don't need to watch the rest of the movies.
When I said what I said a couple of years ago, he was like, no, he did not die. Like, yeah, he did. Like, I thought you saw it already. I thought like the moratorium on spoilers had passed, but I devastated Scott by saying that Dewey died. It was murked. So I'm sorry. It's been enough time has passed. I can say it.
A ton of people who haven't seen that movie.
Listen, it's on Paramount Plus, streaming at your leisure. Dewey died. That is my spoiler. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Shout out to Dewey.
May he rest. He had a good run for 20 plus years. He survived near deaths until the one finally got him. But I'm going to leave that alone. Let Dewey rest. As we get to our NXT Championship match involving All Ego Ethan Page and Aura Mensa with Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson at ringside, I want to deliver Cheddar Biscuits to Lash and Jakara for looking amazing last night, especially Lash, probably one of her best looks ever. And I thought this match was really good. It was a nice storyline of Aura Mensa always being on site with Ego Ethan Page for weeks after what he did to Norm Dar, taking him out with an injury for months. And this was a well-worked match. I had no doubt who was going to win, but I enjoyed the layout of the match. I enjoyed the near falls. Aura looked great out there, and Ego got the win by just taking Aura to the stage and delivering an Ego's Edge through a picnic table, got him back in the ring. Aura kicks out, and then Ego finishes him off once again with another Razor's Edge to get the victory to retain the NXT Championship. Overall, well-worked match between the two.
It was, and a good use of a TV special, a good use, this is a bit high profile match for Aura, and then he really showed up. I thought he did a good job. Noam is still due a title shot. That's still going to happen. So this story is not over. This particular chapter in the story may be finished, but Noam Dar will be returning. And I think Ethan Page is going to be a really good champion for them. So I'm looking forward to see who they have next. I'm hoping that you say his name isn't too far behind when it comes to who will be the next challenger, but we'll see what they have in store.
I think that you're right about that. And we're going to get to, let's say his name right now. Before we say his name, I do want to say that Joe Hendry, as I say his name, is basically working full time at the PC training. So dare I say this man's on a two-way contract, essentially. Like, just That's book crazy. It. This guy is going to be in WWE. It's a wrap. Like, what other dude from another promotion has full access to the WWE Performance Center full time, unless you're not going to be getting a full-time contract with WWE?
This dude on that WNBA type stuff. He playing, he over here playing, he overseas playing, like he on that double bread type stuff right now. This dude said, yeah, I'm gonna take your money. I'm gonna take your money. I got my own company. Yeah, I'm living good. Y'all know my name.
I mean, listen, this guy is about to get the biggest bag of his life in the next year or so. Congrats to you, dude. You went viral. And the fact this crowd knows who this man is even more remarkable. And the WWE fan base at large knows him too. So this guy has gotten hot at the right time and he can go. It was Joe Hendry versus Joe Coffee from
your favorite Gallus. Crew.
My least favorite crew in the world, Gallus. The match was good. Joe Hendry was impressive. Booker T, like mid-match, like he was a big Joe Hendry hater for a while. Like, what makes him special? I don't believe in him. Boo-hoo-hoo. Midway through the match, Booker T became a believer. And that made me so happy that he found the strength to believe in Joe Hendry when he pulled an Eddie Guerrero by slamming himself against the announce table to say, Gallus hit me, gave Wolfgang the smoking gun, and then he handed it off to Mark Coffey. He said, no, what happened? Referee ejects him from ringside. And Joe Hendry is his finisher and Joe Coffey to get the win. And then we have the interview with Sarah Schreiber talking to Joe Hendry about his future. Your run in NXT was great. What's next? Is my run's not over. I got a lot of unfinished business here on NXT. This is basically my new home. And I'm going to be the face of the CW, basically saying, I am here for the long haul. And good for you, Joe Hendry, basically confirming that you do have a two-way contract.
At least until October. at least until October 1st. I thought everything about the presentation, this entire thing was great. From him coming out, everybody singing his theme, to as soon as the bell rang, he ran right out and dove onto the rest of Gallus. Mm-hmm. Like, just the energy he brought is so different. And you mentioned Booker T. This dude just was outright like, I believe this dude just was like having a mental breakdown the way he was not happy with himself, with the fact that he was like, what am I going to do? This is incredible. And this was exactly what it needed to be. He essentially won 1-on-3 and then told everyone, yo, I'm not, he essentially pulled a Wolf of Wall Street. Not going anywhere. Not leaving. Not leaving. This was great. I thoroughly enjoyed it. My kid, I let him stay up to watch this. And, no, all. HBK, put him on first, dude. Why you ain't put that man on first? Why this man didn't come on at 8 o'clock?
No. Walker, HBK says, listen, I do not adhere to your children's bedtimes, okay? Hey, like, dang. I got Joe out around 9:15. I'm sorry if that does not accommodate babies and toddlers and kindergartners, okay? My bad.
I mean, they saying his name, he not appearing. They making me look like a liar, okay, HBK? You're making me look like a liar because I keep saying Joe's going to show up. Well, I don't see him, Dad. I'm saying his name. I don't see Joe. Where's Joe? So listen, 9:15 was pushing it, okay? Because 9:30 is bedtime. So we was in overtime, okay, HBK? We was in overtime. You owe me a juice box. I had to waste a juice box on you, all right? But no, great, great segment. And again, he will need to be in a marquee match on October 1st.
Oh, for sure. Must. TNA would be extremely, oh my God, TNA being that generous to say, Joe Hendry, you go
in front of the biggest crowd in your entire life in Chicago, which will probably be sold out. You go there. Who will that benefit? Will it benefit TNA or will it benefit Joe Hendry? I don't know. It could be both, but you're basically having your guy out there in front of the biggest possible audience, in front of a lot of viewers on the CW. You say it ain't going to happen by October 1st because that would be insane of them to do that. But at this point, why not? You're going to be losing him anyway, essentially. You're going to be losing Jordynne Grace and you're losing Joe Hendry. That is the plus minus of this relationship, because that is going to be the fear of poaching. But then again, I also have to consider the future of TNA, because there's been rumblings about that too. They say nothing's going on, but when you're basically saying, hey, you can have this guy and this girl and have at it, it does make you think about the stability of this company long term and how much WWE might pay for it ultimately. Yes, I went there, because there's something to this that tells me something is going on that we cannot see yet.
Well, you know, TNA is the original Orlando home front. So,
yeah.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's the, you want to talk about Nexus and the core.
Yes.
I mean, but at least NXT is better than the core, but like, that's the, you know, that's the OG right there. But yeah, this, there is something to it. I kind of hope it stays the way, like, I think they have a good partnership now. Like, I think some of these younger NXT guys and girls are getting good reps going down, or not even going down, but just going to TNA and working with a lot of those women and men over there, and vice versa. Like Joe Hendry getting to work in this crowd, getting this type of exposure, like you just mentioned, why not let that man run wild on the CW? Like him being promoted as a TNA superstar, Joe Hendry, you know, when he comes out, he had the TNA graphic beside him. Let it ride. I mean, they're going to want to say, well, what's TNA? Like, and that's essentially the goal. I'm expecting Nick Nemeth to show up on possibly on those either the first or the eighth. Like if I'm TNA and you're going to the CW, you're about to get all this exposure. Like I'm trying to send some of my top, like I'm sending my top guys and girls. I know that's going to be a big show. Yeah. Let me send some people that are going to make you want to say, oh, I want to watch him. Joe's going to be there. Maybe let me send Moose. Maybe let me send Nick. Maybe let me send Josh. Like, let me send some people who I know are going to get. Let me send Jordynne again. I know you love Jordynne. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I'm TNA, that October 1st show is something where I'm asking y'all, who can I send? Who can I bring, let you have to represent us?
Exactly. That's a very good question. And I would love to see it. I want to see them be bold. Take advantage of this partnership. Have as many guys as you can on that October 1st show in Chicago. I want Joe Hendry there. Real talk. He should be there and he'll be over. Like that would be the biggest reception he'll ever get up until he goes to a stadium show for WWE. That would be special for him and great for TNA. I just hope that their relationship is beneficiary in terms of don't poach all of my talent, please.
Well, they can always have Tatum Paxley in return.
Yes, and that is a nice exchange. Perfectly fine.
It's a little lopsided. I mean, Tatum, Pax is a good fit for TNA. She'll definitely improve their working with them, but Joe Hendry is a star.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting to be exposed, essentially. And NXT is great exposure, but he's waiting to be given the ball and then given that spotlight with the ball.
Absolutely. So I got a question for you before we move on about the little one. You see, this bedtime is at 9:30. For me, because I want to time check compared to my bedtime when I was that age. How old is your son? What is his bedtime legit?
So his bedtime is normally about 10:30, but he will be starting kindergarten in a couple weeks. So we're going to start him now at about 9:30 going to bed. So that way he can get ready, get into a good routine. So 9:30 to 9:45 is the bedtime for him. He's five.
You are a wonderful, kind parent. My ass is in the bed by 8:30.
It's so the problem with that is like I'm outside hooping at 8:30. I'm gonna go ahead and tell you. NXT was on the iPad and I was outside balling at 8:30. He's driving around in the tractor in one of his cars and I'm out hooping. Like, it's nice out. I ain't gonna lie to you. So I think Kalani was on too. So, you know, I was like, oh yeah, Kalani, let me get a couple shots of her.
Oh my God.
But I watched the match.
I don't know if that's an insult or a compliment. Like, oh, Kalani's on. Let me take a couple of threes.
I don't know either, but that's how it went.
The fact that you don't know if it's shade or not, I don't know either
now that I think about it. But it's so nice out and it's still daylight. Like, yeah. When it starts getting cold again, it'll be a lot easier to put him to bed at probably 9 o'clock, 9:15. But it's with it being daylight at 8:30. Yeah, I can't do that. And I'm trying to get my rec in too. Yeah, he can have another hour.
Okay. Now, the school bedtime, that makes more sense. Now, I did probably stay up a little longer when I was a kiddo, but God, I wish I had the 10:30 slot, man, for real, when I was five. Essen Pet at 8:30, just, that was it. It was done. It was a wrap. So.
That's only because he's good. If he doesn't get a nap in, yeah, he's going to bed about 9:30, because then he starts acting like the exorcist. Next thing you know, he's crawling up on the wall and the ceiling and stuff. So as long as he gets his nap in, he can stay up a little bit later.
All right. You're a great dad and you have great taste with your son when it comes to Joe Hendry getting that love, and you let him stay up and see him and say his name. He appeared and he believes. He waved his hands back and forth. I know it was adorable. So Joe Hendry's got the kids, man. The kids love him. I saw the meet and greet and the little boy was turning. It was the cutest. Like, Joe Hendry is really someone special, and he has a genuine connection with people, and I think that he deserves this moment for himself to really get over as a big time star with a big platform. As we move on to Rin Sinclair, noted mobstress in training, versus Kendall Gray. This match was fine for what it was. As I said last week, I'm very impressed by Kendall. She's going to be good in time, and Rin has experience already, and now that she has beaten Kendall, she is now part of the No Quarter Catch crew, and she helped Charlie Dempsey get a shot at the Heritage Cup next Tuesday. Good for them.
Yeah, match was fine. I thought Rin looked pretty good. Shout out, like, one thing I will say about NXT is they're not afraid to put anybody out there and see what happens. And the last couple weeks, man, a lot of these ladies with less experience than you would expect have really been holding their own. Like, this match was fine. There was a couple spots that were a little, like, didn't connect as much as you would want, but you see that in any kind of match. And I thought they did a good job. I thought, especially Rin. I thought Rin in particular looked specifically good.
Yes, she's a good wrestler, has experience, and Kendall's still learning. She has a lot of background as a wrestler and did some karate. She's very talented, so she is well-rounded as an athlete. So got to get that reps in the ring. Professional wrestling is a beast out there. Got to get your reps, got to run the ropes, got to get the technique down. She's going to get there in time, and she'll be a player. I truly believe that, and I do love this stupid storyline with the mob wars going on, the very nice mobsters having very nice communication and offering very generous title shots, because Tony D'Angelo says, hey, if you win, hey, you're going to get a shot at my cup. So great. But I do like there is an underlining storyline going on, because the last couple of weeks, Obafemi has interrupted Tony D talking, and Tony D paid him right back. So I do sense that at some point very soon that Tony D is dropping that cup, and next up is him and Obafemi, possibly at No Mercy in September.
I don't know. Tony D, that's a tough one, because the crowd likes both of them. Like, what do you do there? Obviously, Tony D would need to play the heel since he'd have the numbers advantage, and that's the only way you could really do that with Oba. But Oba works better with big guys, man. And I don't know if Tony D is quite the big guy, because I think I don't know. Maybe they would surprise me, but it's not a match I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, but they're definitely throwing some teases out there for sure. For sure. It's very intentional.
His face was incredible when Tony D walked in front of him. His his face, his eyes were wide. Like, I
no, you didn't.
He was like, I know this dude did not just take my camera. And like, he never broke contact. I watched the clip a couple of times. I never saw his eyes leave the camera the whole time. I was fully expecting him to show up at some point behind him.
I thought he was going to follow him and jump him, but he looked at him like, the nerve of you to disrespect me in my shot. I'm being interviewed and you just completely say, fuck your match. By the way, my match, the important match, is next week. And it's walked off.
Incredible.
And Oba's like, no, he did not interrupt me. His eyes was staring daggers at Tony D'Angelo. I laughed. So I'm here for the match. I think it'll be good because we know that Tony has a legit collegiate background as a wrestler. And he'll throw Oba around. Oba's big, but I think that Tony's got the strength to pull him in to a good match. Both guys, you know, they've been in the system for a while. Tony a bit longer than Oba Femi. And Oba has really missed in the ring. So I expect them to deliver. And I do want to circle back to Chase U. They do get a title shot next week against the winner of MSK versus Axiom and Nathan Fraser for the NXT tag team titles. And he told Duke, and who I'm talking about is Rich Holland saying, hey Duke, about next week I will be teaming with Mr. Chase, not you. And Duke was like, oh, he was giving that Xavier Woods, oh great, nice. And I still foresee that Rich Holland will stab Chase U in the back. New shirts, new classroom. Oh, it's so over for him when he turns on them. It's coming.
Yeah, Ridge U has a nice ring to it.
First of all, that is a spicy name for a university.
Ridge U?
Yeah.
Okay.
Say it five times, and if it doesn't sound naughty by the fifth.
I don't know. Maybe I don't know. I'm not sensing the naughty, but I don't want to be saying it too many times before I get memed into a naughty. I'm gonna take your word for it. We're not gonna go with the Ridge U. We're gonna go with Holland Tech.
Holland Tech.
HT.
HT. Holland Technical College. I'm here for that. HTC.
We're going with HTC. Yeah. Holland Tech. Holland Technical College.
Yes. Yeah. High tech. How about that?
I like that. High tech. Go with that.
All right.
Yeah, the segment was cool though.
Yeah, I liked it. Some things are developing there. I don't trust Rich to save my life, but hey, we'll see what he does next week. As we get to our main event, which is MSK, Wesley and Zachary Wentz versus the NXT Tag Team Champions, Axiom and Nathan Fraser. And, you know, we've been teasing tension with Axiom and Nathan for weeks, if not months now. We have both guys competing on WWE Speed. They're not on time to meet up to practice and rehearse for their matches and run through the game plan here. So they've been having some simmering tension as of late. And every time I think that it's about to end, they surprise me. And this match was very good. I thought they held back a bit because I thought this match could have been even crazier. But it was all about what would happen after the match, which might explain why not go all out. We did get enough from both guys. Zachary and Wesley were great. Axiom and Nathan Fraser are amazing, and they retained the championship by hitting the golden ratio on Wesley for the 1-2-3. And after the match is over, we have MSK alongside Trey Miguel in the ring, and they're offering words of encouragement to Wesley, saying, it's all right, we're family, I love you. And Wesley was getting very emotional backstage prior to this match, like, oh my God, he's getting weepy again. But it was for a good reason, because these are his brothers in arms and they love him and he loves them. But I knew something was about to happen. I did not foresee who was going to be doing the turning, because I thought that Zachary Wentz and Trey Miguel was going to do the turn. Trey Miguel was looking shifty. I thought they're going to beat the shit out of Wes, ain't they? But I did not foresee that Wesley would do the turn. He super kicks Trey Miguel. And as I talked about at the top of this episode, the acting of Zachary Wentz was not the best, saying, Wes, that's your brother.
like you're reading from a script, and I don't believe your delivery of this line. Sometimes silence is golden. Sometimes selling shock at what happened works better, like the Shield betrayal 10 years ago, because Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley didn't say a word. He just was just stood there like in shock. He didn't have to say, oh my God, Seth, that's Roman, your brother, our brother. Like, he didn't say that. He just got his ass whooped after selling shock. So I just wish that Zachary didn't say anything, but we had Wesley deliver a low blow to Zachary, and he proceeds to take out his buddies. And the fans boo. They can't believe what's happening. They chant, holy shit. So we got the very unexpected heel turn of Wesley out of nowhere, and I'm kind of here for it. I was kind of tired of the crying weepy Wesley crying about, I was the NXT North America champion and I deserve another title shot. I have no purpose here on NXT, to rightful anger, blaming Zachary for leaving him 2 years ago. That is residual pain that he's been holding on to, and he let it all out last night. And I think this will do him a world of good. I think he needs something to sink his teeth into, and this heel turn could very well do that. He did menacing in a very believable way when he did the turn on his partners.
Yeah, the match was really good. Turn was fine. I'm not quite as high on the Wesley heel turn. He's one of the best baby faces they have. And I don't know if he's got the Carmelo Hayes in him as far as undersized heeled and or even the Noam Dar to just be able to make people really hate you. And also the moveset. His entire moveset is centered around him doing these cool things and creating all this movement. So we'll see how everything translates. But his first feud here in WWE and NXT is going to be crucial. I could definitely see him versus one of those two, maybe at Bound for Glory or something like that. That would be a big for TNA. But who his first feud against in NXT is going to be very important.
I'm a bit more high on the turn because I see what Seth Rollins did 10 years ago with a similar moveset. He didn't water down anything. He was just a heel that did cool shit. And Wesley has a cool moveset. He can sell it too. Adam Cole did it. He was undersized as well. So you can be a surly heel, pissed off, angry at the world, and get over. It's very possible. First promo is going to be key because you got to sell it and you got to believe it, most importantly. And I think there's real anger he can tap into about what he went through the last couple of years, especially how things ended with MSK, with Zachary's release from WWE, his return via TNA, and them losing last night and his reaction to that, and how his friends moved on without him. Like, there is something there he can legit tap into and trigger real emotion to really give this heel turn purpose. That will ultimately be on him, because if he can cry on command, hopefully he can be angry on command too, to generate that emotion in a way that will make this heel turn hit at the end of the day.
Yep, we'll see.
All right, and with that, this wraps up a pretty strong NXT Great American Bash Night 2. And so far, the week that was in WWE has been pretty strong. Solid SummerSlam, great Monday Night Raw, very good NXT. And before we go, I do want to touch on a question that was dropped in our Discord by Paul Fontaine, because I do not want to forget. Before we sign off for today, I want to scroll over here right now and pull up that question that he had for both of us. And it is, go over here and scroll. And the question is, should Jade beat Nia for the title on the first SmackDown on USA? I would say no.
Yeah, I say no, but it should be Bianca.
I agree. And that will facilitate several things down the road.
Yeah, Bianca should hit the KOD on Nia for SmackDown.
100%. And then Jade can cost Bianca the championship and Tiffy Time can cash in. That's how you handle that.
I didn't even think about that part. I was going to have Jade win the Rumble. But the Tiffy Time thing works too, because then you have, that actually works better.
Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. But I don't think that Jade should beat Nia. I think it should be Bianca first.
if they choose to go in that direction. But we shall see. Thank you, Paul, for asking that question. And now it's time to put a bow on this week's wrap so far in WWE. I want to thank my co-captain, Salty Scott Young, for joining me as we chopped it up to discuss all things NXT and Monday Night Raw.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. And by the way, my match of the week this week is AEW versus WWE when it comes to the weekends. We'll see you next week.
God. Scott's match of the week. Nothing would quite top Dynamite versus Juneteenth. That was a special kind of moment on this show that took me aback. Match of the year, match of the decade, essentially. That was something that I will never forget on this show. But yeah, AEW versus WWE PLEs on the weekend. That was a slaughter. They should have stayed dark that week, honestly. No time would have worked, especially against the Olympics. Don't eat the rating, just don't run the show. You can go dark, you could preempt yourself. That's fine, because it was a slaughter either way.
Slaughterhouse, and we're not talking Shady Records.
No, we're not. No, we're not. So with that match of the week, and the legit match of the week, if we had to go through what we've seen so far in WWE, Scott, your legit match of the week.
Is SummerSlam included, or are we just doing Monday and then
you could do SummerSlam. The week is still live.
No, you know what? I'm gonna just do Monday and Tuesday. Since we did kind of pick our, well, I guess we didn't pick a match tonight. So you know what? I'm gonna go with LA Knight and Logan Paul. I thoroughly enjoyed that match. It wasn't the best match I saw, but I think it was probably my favorite from the last week.
I would agree if I did not see Gunther and Damian Priest the same night. I loved that match, the physicality that Damian delivered. And if I want to go Monday Night Raw bag, I would say Sheamus and Ludwig too. They did a great job in their match as well. So really good wrestling for WWE so far this week, and great angles come out of SummerSlam and the Great American Bash. And we still got SmackDown going down live on Fox. The last few SmackDowns on Fox before we move back to USA next month. So we will see Roman Reigns, the real tribal chief, the OTC, the Trout, come out and do what he needs to do to tell Solo, daddy's home. For real this time.
That's one Trout Solo won't be catching on his next trip.
That is Roman Reigns, the GOAT. We'll talk about what happened on that show, Monday Night Raw, and of course NXT. Well, actually not NXT, because it already happened. So we'll just talk about NXT the week after next. How about that? But until then, for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Enjoy the rest of the week ahead. Until next time, take care and bye-bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.